This is Andrew Phipps. Welcome to the Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast today. We have such a wonderful program that has been in the format. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. We have different segments, and now would be a good time for you to remind a neighbor or a friend. At the start of our program, we're going to go to the sanctuary of the Liberty Baptist Church in Muncie, Indiana, for a message that says, From Sorrow to Joy. Stand for the reading of the Word in the book of Psalm, chapter 30. Chapter 30. Pastor told me to preach out of the Psalm, and he's the pastor, so I do what the pastor says. And he said it's from 24 to 44 or something like that. The Bible says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto thee, Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. O dear Lord, help us today in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. I was thinking today, and I had a good friend of mine to give me some thoughts on this. I said, I need some help. And he immediately said, amen. Well, anyway, we are taking a look at something, and when I thought of this, Miss Fran, I didn't know that the Lord would bring you into my sermon today. I didn't know others, and I thought, boy, this is just suitable for her. Yesterday was a day when I said goodbye to my half-sister that lived over around Blue Ash, Ohio. And when I got there, I told her son, I said, well, this is a long way from the South Fork in Wayne County, Kentucky, to here. And I was thinking, as they closed the casket there before the service, and I turned to my nephew and I said, well, I'll not see her face again until I get to heaven. I was thinking about that. And here in this psalm, we think that David may have written maybe 1,000 years before Christ, that it's a psalm of grace and gratitude. In verse 1, we see a song of victory. Now, many of you have been through things, and I won't name all the names, they're too numerous. Many of you have been through physical things that I've never been through. Now, I'm fortunate. I've never spent a night in the hospital in my life. Now, if I ever have to go, all of you will have to come and hold my hands, because Miss Joni knows that I take a lot of care. We call in people. I mean, if I ever get sick, we call people from Rushville to come up and just sit in the parking lot. And I'm fragile. I'm a baby. I'm not of that World War II generation. I'm not of the Claude Smith types. I'm more like, I guess, Gomer Pyle or somebody. But anyway, David is giving praise for his healing in verse 1 and 2 and for his health in verse 3. Now, when you think about it today, folks, we have to realize that we're all here just for a short time. The Bible says that our lives are faster than a weaver's shuttle. The Bible said our life is like a vapor. The Bible says that it's like a flower that is cut down. You know, you think about it, and I believe it was Sis yesterday, said, my dad has been gone 30 years. Said, I love my dad. And I thought about statements like that. We all could share in statements. Some of us, I lost my dad when I was 29 years old. I haven't talked to him since I was 29 years of age. Now, I guess what I'm getting ready for here, the psalmist says here, he said, O Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Is there anybody in here that could say amen to that? I'm glad today, Brother Jerry, that God is in the healing business. I'm glad today that nothing takes God by surprise. There is no problem. There is no situation that's withholding from the great physician today. I know Miss Fran and different ones, Miss Linda, you could tell about stories, how that maybe at the midnight hour that you felt alone, that you felt forsaken, maybe you felt so isolated, maybe anxiety may have overcome you, but I'm reminding you today that there's a God in heaven that cares for you. The song says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Somebody say amen. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are dreary, the long nights weary, I know that he cares for me. Isn't that good, Brother Cecil? Listen here, there's a way that we can go sometime, Brother Jerry. To the best of friends, there may come a time when I will have to go to the last mile with you. You may come to a time when you say, well, my friend is gone, but I'm here to tell you that I'll be in the company of the redeemed. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm glad today. See, we have in verse number 4, he said, sing unto the Lord. Sometimes, Amanda, it's hard to sing, isn't it? Amanda, all of you have been through situations. Amanda, a few years ago, had a little experience that just worried us to death. She was going to have like a sleep study or whatever. And I hope she doesn't mind me referring to it. But I've always just worried about my children. I worry about my grandchildren. I worry about my great-grandchildren. I'm here to tell you that I want all my children to meet me in the glory world.
Yeah.
In the perplexities of dealing with life's stresses and possible solutions, it would probably do us all good to put all things into priorities. First things first. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And this injunction is, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were creating." Pleasing God is believing in Jesus, whom he has sent. It is unfortunate and most regrettable to hear and see the closing of fundamental churches because of a lack of pastors, and certainly because of declining church attendance. Church attendance is a commandment. We are not to forget the assembling of ourselves together, hearing the preached word, singing songs of praise, and helping to bear one another's burdens cannot be as satisfying doing live streaming from a sofa at home. It is sort of like attempting to enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal by looking at the pictures taken of it. The old proverbial question of what would this church be if everyone in it were just like me is still true. One who says that I can be a good Christian witness on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week while fishing on the creek bank, or getting with the fellows on the golf course just does not ring true. Where your heart is, there will be your treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." We should be known as followers of Christ, his ambassadors, his servants. Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention is reported to have said, "The longer I live, the more of a truth I perceive, that if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, how can empires rise without his aid? Our faith in Christ can never be de-emphasized without serious risk to our families and the nation as a whole. May our pulpits not be silent as we proclaim the truth of the Bible, regardless of the lack of approval or disapproval, nor the applause of men. Our forefathers stood. May we have the courage to do likewise." If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called "Can You Find God in D.C.?" I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Unable to understand the atheist in this world of so much beauty. And I've had an unholy desire to invite some atheists to a dinner and then serve the most fabulous gourmet dinner that has ever been concocted. And after dinner, ask them if they believed there was a cook.
An informed patriotism is what we want. And are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents? We were taught very directly what it means to be an American. And we absorbed almost in the air a love of country and an appreciation of its institutions. If you didn't get these things from your family, you got them from the neighborhood, from the father down the street who fought in Korea, or the family who lost someone at Anzio. Or you could get a sense of patriotism from school. And if all else failed, you could get a sense of patriotism from the popular culture. And some things have changed. Younger parents aren't sure that an unambivalent appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children. And as for those who create the popular culture, well-grounded patriotism is no longer the style. Our spirit is back, but we haven't re-institutionalized it. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise, and freedom is special and rare.
Today with a wonderful friend, Pastor Rick Prophet, Glasgow, Kentucky, down there at the Independent Baptist Church in that area. And Brother Rick, you are doing, I believe, a great work in that area. And I know you've been there how many years?
Well, I've been there 43 years. We started the church in 1981 and been there for 43 years, been preaching 44 years.
And you preach out quite a little bit too, don't you?
Yes, some.
What do you see? Are you still excited about what your church can do for your area and Kentucky and surrounding areas?
Well, there's always work to be done. We still trying to do work. We went out Saturday evening, knocked on 70 doors, and trying to get folks to come to church. The Lord always blesses, and none of the 70 went to see. None of them came, but a woman, we didn't even go to her house. She showed up Sunday morning, and she'd moved right above the church, said she'd been looking for a church. And so the Lord blesses. The devil always blasts us, but the Lord blesses us more than the devil blasts us.
Oh, that's good. And you just have, and I say this complimentary, just an old-fashioned type church, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, just the old hymns, King James Bible, just worshiping the Lord, trying to win people to Jesus.
Well, Brother Rick, you've been a great blessing in that area, not only to those people, but people like myself. You have camp meetings and a lot of meetings during the year, don't you?
Yes, we have a couple of revivals a year, and usually have a always have our Jubilee in October.
Yeah, I've been privileged to come there sometime, and it's always been a joy. Do you, we all get a little bit older. Are you still excited about the future?
I am, Brother Andrew. The other day I went to the mailbox, and opened this package up, and it was your new book. Yeah, it's always a struggle. And any pastor can identify with that book. And I read the whole thing that week, and it really blessed me. And we realized people in the church and even our friends like you, we've known 20 and 30 years, we don't realize the struggles that they went through in life. Yeah. And I always say that, you know, if we could get there on a Sunday morning, everybody know what everybody else is going through, been through, headed toward, I think we could love each other a lot more and appreciate each other a lot more.
Right. We have to finally realize that none of us is at this stage in life perfect.
Right.
Only one perfect being, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so we've got to help one another. Brother Rick, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being my friend.
Well, thank you, Brother Andrew. I love you. Appreciate
love you
your
too,
work.
Brother. God bless.
Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. And from time to time, we hear about the concept of gender and how that we hear about gender equality. I do not believe for one second that God took a one-celled amoeba and through a mutative process and random selection ended up with a Homo sapien. God makes no mistakes. And I believe today that when he created male and image, God knew exactly what he was doing. God is sovereign. He makes no mistakes. And any equivocations would be a result of faulty thinking on our part. I'm glad today that we can know the distinction between a male and a female, and I hope that we all recognize it as such. And this is Andrew Phipps. Well, I hope that you have benefited from today's broadcast. You know, it's exciting. We're on BBS podcast that comes on every Tuesday night, 9:05 p.m., and it's the largest podcast on the planet. We're also going to be hosting a podcast with Ed Henry every Wednesday morning at starting June the 5th, so maybe you can join us for that. The quote by Justice Scalia that said, "The transformation of charity into legal entitlement has produced donors without love and recipients without gratitude." That's what happens when people do not see the value in what they get and they take it for granted. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. I'll look forward to being with you again at the next familiar time. But this is Andrew Phipps saying, have a great day. God bless you, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.